Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, because we've got quite a bit of word to cover this morning. And I believe that he wants me to go through all of these different scriptures. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at, and then shall the end come. Now, recently, we're going to get down to a verse that we've been enjoying lately, and that's Matthew 24, 14. And we've been talking about that has been the confirmation of our anthem, you might say it. Our anthem, the Lord gave us a charge, and our charge was go into Christ far enough that you can receive a spiritual outpouring. Now, we don't contend about this. This is just we just know that to do that, the first base foundation is to be conformed to Him. We're not seeking revival, we're seeking Him for a revival. And that's a big difference. That's not a play on word, that's a big difference. We're seeking Him, being conformed to His image, but He's asked us to give Him a revival. So it's just like this. The Bible says this, Jesus said this, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I ask you to do? Okay, so I love you, Lord. Well, I'm asking you to go into me far enough to receive an outpouring. So what we understand that to be is it's part of the corporate services, but predominantly it's, you saw me turn, I'm looking at prayer closets here. Your prayer closet is someplace else, but wherever your place is and whatever time that He's asked you to go into Him and spend time dying, not physically, we want all of you to stay alive, but dying to the flesh and being filled with the Spirit and helping us. It's going to help in this, you know, this culmination of authority going forward in Christ. Hallelujah. So this morning we're going to look at this in a little different way. We've been talking about that this is Matthew 24, 14, a confirmation of our anthem. He said, go, and we've said, yes, we will go, and yes, we will receive the revival. And 24, 14 has been like, and this gospel shall be preached. Well, what is this gospel? Well, we defined that over the last several weeks as a gospel of not only word, but of power as well. Amen. And how many of you know that one of the greatest joys we're going to get to express in these last days is not just to tell them the good news, but to enact the good news, to see the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the dumb speak. Hallelujah. So let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 24. The end is coming. Everybody say, the end is coming. Turn to your neighbor and say, the end is coming. Hallelujah. Okay. So I'm going to read because we want to get down to 24, and then we've got several other places to go. So stay with us. Hallelujah. Glory. All right. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him to show Him all the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Truly or verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That prophecy was fulfilled in 70 AD. That was actually fulfilled. All the temple was destroyed by the Romans because of the Jewish uprising. Verse 3, and as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the world? So they're asking Him different things, but they want to know, when is the end? And Jesus said unto them, number one, take heed that no man deceive you. We've preached on that, haven't we? That's been part of our bayonet series. And oh, by the way, we've got two more lessons probably, and we will finish those, but we have to be obedient this time, this morning. I think the last two will be the ready reference. We'll give you that in the future because we said we would, and that'd be coming up in the next few weeks. Take heed that no man deceive you. That's the first and foremost. Don't be deceived by false preachers. That's it. Okay, we'll just go there, state that this morning. Don't let false preachers deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or maybe for us a better way to say this is I'm representing Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay, the end's not here yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. Verse 7 is real interesting. If you listen to Dr. Jim Martin, he had a message that I've recommended on Wednesday nights, and he broke down how that this nation against nation is, as he broke down the some of the original on that, and it's not necessarily always, it can be, America against Russia, America against China, China against Israel, but it also can break down to ethnic, and it can break down to even what we're seeing now, the racial fighting and the tension and the rioting that's going on in our streets, which is very interesting to me, very interesting, because we're seeing these things presently come to pass. And he says this, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, presently I feel, this is my conviction, based on watching everything in my spirit and the Word of God and whatever He's placed inside of me. I believe that we are at least, as a generation, entering into the threshold of the beginning of sorrows. I believe that we're at that point. We're at that point in a prophetic, and so I believe that we're locating. We've been locating ourselves all year in different places, in Jude, the prophecies in 2 Peter chapter 2, but I believe here we locate ourselves in the beginning of sorrows. We are that generation, folks. I believe we are that generation. We're going to see Him come to pass, and especially the guarantee is to our millennials. I bragged about you guys. I got to look over here, too, so I got some millennials over here. I got my daughter and son-in-laws, and so millennials. So these guys are going to see this, but they're going to see it in joy and power. Praise God. Amen. Nation shall rise against nation. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 8, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. He reiterates it. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Quick. Help me, Holy Spirit. Again, a prophecy of the apostasy of the church. Why will the love of many wax cold? In other words, this is not the world loving Him waxing cold. This is the church. The world doesn't love God, okay? The world is not your brother or sister. Only us that are interconnected by the new birth, that's our brother or sister. And our brother and our sisters, many of them are going to disintegrate in their love. Why? Because the iniquity that is on you, man, you don't, everybody, even the little guys, some have got, and I'm going to say this blatantly and I'll back off of it. Everybody's got porno on their person today. Everybody's got porno on their person. What? Everybody that's got a smart device, you don't have to go buy it somewhere and slide it under a bed. Everybody has got the potential to just click a few buttons and watch anything you want nowadays, anything. Because the accessibility of iniquity will be so rampant, the love of many will wax cold. That's why integrity, and you can't, you can't guard this. Well, we'll guard, yep, maybe for the minors, but you can't restrict it with the flesh. Okay, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that and do it. The flesh will find some way to find. Yeah, you know, it's common. Well, I won't go there. Okay, I got too much to do. Let's keep going. Okay. And many false prophets, and because of the love of iniquity, or because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, is that something? She that endures. It's not just like, okay, I'm here, I've arrived, now I'm going to go play for a while. He that does what? Endures. And it says this. What verse was I in? I got happy here. Which one? 14. And this gospel of the kingdom But he that, okay, yes. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's when the end shall come. The names also simultaneously with that in verse 15, that the Antichrist will be identified, and he'll be a part of what's going on in the earth at that time. Then shall the end come, and this gospel. Now, that word this is the word tuto, or tutu in the Greek. That doesn't mean anything to you and hardly anything to me, except that it means this or this particular one. And this particular one is the one that Jesus preached. Amen? It's the one that he preached. It's the one in Matthew chapter 10 that he said, go, you disciples. Tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And tell them, and when you're telling them, do this. Heal the sick, heal the blind, heal the leprosy, cast out devils, and if they don't receive you into whatsoever house you enter or city when you're done preaching, then go out as a sign against them, as a witness, it says, against them, and wipe the dust off your feet. And listen, Homer's coming up with all kinds of good stuff, as you are, but he called me one day, he goes, you know, Pastor, he said, the reason why that the church can't wipe the dust off their feet, he said, the reason being is there's no power. The justification of the witness is this. They could enter into a city, and once they heal the sick, now here's the amazing part. They weren't yet even born again. They were working off a mantle. We're born again. We have a call, and he said, go and do. And the Holy Spirit said this morning, I remember what he said. He said, do both ends. You got to do both ends. In other words, you got to spend. Don't just be like Nike, like, just do it. Just go out there and start laying hands on them. And then live a, you know, like a hell in a handbasket over here, you know, looking at nobody's coming. Whoa, boy. You're doing that behind scenes? Keep praying, keep fasting. But if you're doing the other, trying to witness and not mortifying that, he'll take you and press. We won't even know. We'll say, remember when so-and-so used to come to church? Remember? Yeah, whatever happened to them? What, I don't know. They just, man, they're back in the bars. They're back in the shooting up, snorting up, and doing up. Yeah. Because you have to continue to mortify, but he also said, while you're in your faults, keep going, but keep doing this. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep going forward. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Y'all got quiet on me. Y'all love me? That's just good preaching. Everybody say, that's just good preaching. Whether I agree with it or not, that's just good preaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the gospel is this. If we can do that, then as a witness, not as an anger, but if you understand, we don't have time to preach on that, but I have taught on that before. What was the wiping off of the dust? It was a witness of judgment so the Lord could come in and continue to judge those areas. Even Paul, I think it was in Acts chapter 13, he and Barnabas wiped the dust off their feet, but they continued to go into that same region. It wasn't an end of the preaching of the gospel. It was a judgment, a righteous judgment that would come on them. And by the way, listen, we are beginning to enter into, I feel, the beginning of sorrows. There is a judgment that will ensue, and I believe already has begun to ensue. In other words, it's going to go across the land. It's going to go across because of the rejection. The Christians have rejected the truth. There is a judgment. In other words, his judgment is his hand being lifted. But we're going to get into the scripture here. I'm kind of halfway in the prophetic and halfway in the teaching mode. But in the midst of this judgment, if we follow him, we're going to live in a place, a hedge of protection. And that also will be a witness. Now, the reason why the church, I hope nobody's been wiping, and I don't think you have, but if anybody ever wipes their feet off, you know, their feet, I'll just wipe the feet off, y'all didn't receive my witness. You have no right to do that. The modern-day 21st century church cannot wipe their feet off, not as of yet. Why? Because they have not raised the dead, healed the sick, cast out demons. It's the gospel is Two parts. It's two. It's power and it's word. It's power and it's word. It's word and it's power. It's two parts, and they must come together. Only is it justified to bring judgment when you have demonstrated what you're talking about. People can talk, but until you can show the word, it's just first grade stuff. Show and tell when you went to school. I show this, and I'm going to tell about it. But I'm going to show it as in demonstration. The gospel has not been show and tell. The gospel has only been doctrine. We're preaching doctrine, but we know that there's another step to this. It has to be the tell. It has to be the show part. We're telling it, but we got to show it. We got to show it. And that's fasting and praying and going into that other place. So, but there is a judgment. And the judgment, see, folks, now we're not just going into a place where that's satanic. He's bringing that. He's bringing that. There is an actual stepping back by God now, and he's starting to bring a impending judgment on the earth, but we will be a part of the last day administration of this gospel that will say, look, we're going to show you, we're going to tell you about who Jesus is, and we're going to show you who he is as well. And that's going to be exciting, extremely exciting. Hallelujah. So, let's go to Isaiah chapter 24. Hallelujah. We've got a lot to do, so let's move forward here. Isaiah chapter 24. That's in the Old Testament. I'm looking Isaiah. Song of Solomon was just before that. If you run across that. What's the next one past that? Jeremiah? Okay, so 24. All right, let's look at an end-time prophecy that includes the whole world, and then I want to exemplify, or God wants to exemplify what I was just saying about that there is there's going to be a distinguishing that's going to take place. All right, verse 1. You follow along, and I'll read. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. Now, I'm telling you, this is an end-time prophecy, and we're going to see some things, and I'm going to comment, and I don't have time, and I need to go in deeper, even into my own meditation, into Isaiah 24 to qualify all of these different things. But I can justifiably tell you that I'm confident this is an end-time prophecy. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. In other words, this whole thing is going to affect everyone. As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, that's interest, so with the giver of interest or usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth. That means it's hurt. Just pine away. There's going to be such hurt. And fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Now that's talking about all the multitude of sin that is taking place. And this is what's bringing it about. Because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances. That's prophetic. They've changed the ordinances. They're saying, no. It's not a man and a woman. It can be men and men, women and women, and we don't care what God's word says. We'll just change the ordinance. We'll just change. We'll define it ourselves. And God is scoffing. God is laughing. You don't know. You don't know that your day of judgment is coming. You can hierarchy, you can stand with great regal robes because millions of people have voted you in and say, I am a Supreme Court justice. And God winks. The Bible says he winks. It's like, it's not that he's getting joy, but there is a knowing, because he knows the beginning from the end. They changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. And they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine mourneth, and the wine and the vine languisheth. All the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of the tambourines ceaseth. There's no joy. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The cities of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of the olive tree, and as the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is come. Did the Holy Spirit not say that there is a shaking coming? There is a shaking. There's something coming. They shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud for the sea. Now, okay, here's a distinction. Here's the salt. We're salt, are we not? Here's the salt in the midst of all this languishing, all of this. Then he begins to distinguish a prophetic people, a people of purging, a people of righteousness, a people of that will shine. They shall lift their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord of Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. Hallelujah. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treachery dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Did you see that in 14 and 15 where he's talking about they'll glorify, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires? Right in the midst of things. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Now, so you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to learn that all of everything, all the reports around you doesn't matter. You're just going to have to learn that. Well, I have a hard time. Well, I want you to be happy. But you're going to have to find your joy in him in the midst of the fires. Okay, keep going, keep going. Fear, verse 17, and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitants of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. In other words, there's not going to be a place to escape this on the earth. For people, our escape is in Christ. In other words, you're not going to, I got my 401k. And I got my place of habitation. It's going to cover the whole earth. Don't try to hold on to anything. Don't try to hold on to anything. Love it. Enjoy it. But we have to if you're going to live joyfully in these last days, you have to have a heavenly perspective. In other words, God can prosper you, God will prosper you, and God will give you things. But don't hold them. Let them go. They're his. Because this is going to come, it's going to come across all the earth. But what will distinguish in the midst of it, he's telling me go to someplace else now. Let's go to Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll tell you the verses in just a minute, or just a moment. Just look up, if you would, please, once you find Exodus 8. What he is saying and what we just read, and we didn't even finish the chapter, very powerful chapter, but it is in time, is that there will be a distinguishing on the earth and in the church in the last days. And we're going to give you some more scripture on that, just to reiterate that and verify that and stuff. But what we're going to talk just a moment here and show you some verses on the land of Goshen. The land of Goshen. And the land of Goshen was, and we'll read it. We need to read the verses. But I'll tell you what I'm going to tell you. When Joseph was sold by his brethren, and because he had these dreams, but God was preparing a way, and Joseph was sold, and he wound up, you know, there was a lot of different things that took place, and Joseph wound up right-hand man to Pharaoh because he had a dream, and he told Pharaoh how to prosper. Well, then Joseph's brethren come into, and Joseph disguised himself, and he's like the right-hand man to the Pharaoh. He's the second most powerful man on the earth. You know, and he's got all these millions of people that are underneath his administration. Well, his brethren come in, and his brethren don't recognize him. Long story, the whole house of Abraham, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob comes over with all of his sons, and Joseph brings him in. Well, when he brings him in, to not just all of, they don't just scatter out throughout Egypt. They come to one particular place. It's called the land. It was a segmented part, and that's where they lived. They lived in the land of Goshen. And so that 400 years, okay, 400, everybody say 400. Actually, it's actually 430 years. So we're going to jump 430 years. So Joseph comes in, and Joseph says, look, Pharaoh says, oh, the whole land, you can have the whole land. He said, I'll take the land of Goshen. That was prophetic. It was going to be something that was going to take place. So we're skipping. Joseph dies. All those people dies. All that Pharaoh dies. Blah, 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 blah. You know, several generations. So we go ahead 430 years. 430 years later, God is going to deliver his children of Israel out of Egypt. They don't go in there as slaves. They go in there under a real nice pretense. Everybody's happy. We're going to, you know, and then after 430 years, they become slaves. And Egypt is ruling over them, hard taskmasters, and God steps in, of course, with Moses. He's a type of Christ. He's going to be a deliverer. And he comes in, and he's going to eventually give the Jewish nation, the Hebrew nation, the law, but that's 430 years later. Well, let's just read Exodus 8:21. Let's see, I've already explained that. I was going to give you the verse of scripture where Joseph actually brought them in, but I'm going to skip ahead here. This right here. Now, okay. Again, sorry. Look up again. what we're about to read is this. Everybody know what the plagues, remember? Okay, so how many plagues? 10 plagues, right? How many commandments? 10 commandments. No, I'm not making a correlation between those. I'm just trying to wake you up. Okay, they're living in a segmented place called Goshen, okay? And God says, okay, enough is enough. Prophetically, I have said I will deliver my people. He sends Moses to Pharaoh, and he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. And so the whole argument is, if you don't let them go, then I'm going to send these plagues. They are going to be judgment to you. Everybody get this. Please get this. This is how wonderful our God is and was. The judgments of the plagues were as much an evangelism for Egypt as it was a judgment against them. It was a two-part. It was an evangelism to say, look, I am God. Don't stop worshiping this Nile fish god. He's not God. Stop, sacrificing your children. Stop all. There is one true Jehovah, Yahweh. I am God. I am the true God, the God that met Abraham when he was coming out of the land of the Chaldeans. I am God. So they wouldn't hear. So he says, I'm going to send these. It was really God's, God saw that it was never going to happen. So we have the prophecy on it. So this is what you have to understand. Just because God can foretell something doesn't mean that he's making it happen. People will say, well, God spoke it and said that it was going to happen, so they didn't have any choice. No, God can see the future, and it's like he steps back and say, I'm not doing that, but I can tell you what's going to happen. I can tell you that they're going to do that, but that doesn't mean that I'm the one in there making them do that. So God foretold and said, I know what Pharaoh's going to do, but even in knowing what he was going to do, he had to preach the gospel to them through the plagues. But as he's sending all these plagues of evangelism, and they were judgment, but they were also evangelism, as he's sending all these plagues, here's Israel, and they're living right among them. Did we not read out of Isaiah chapter 24 that it's going to come like to everybody? It's going to be around everybody, okay? It's, well, I live in America. Well, things are really getting bad in America. If I've got this and I've got this and I've tucked it away and I've got, dear Lord. But the land of Goshen was where Israel was at. The Hebrews lived there. And when these plagues come, the amazing part was how it did not affect them directly as it was affecting Egypt. It was around them. They could see it taking place, but it was the true Israel was standing in a place. Now, this one particular plague here, we find in verse 21, and this is Moses standing before Pharaoh again, and he says in verse 21, else if thou wilt not let, Exodus 8, verse 21, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people, and into thy houses, into the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, also the ground whereupon they are. Now, folks, these are plagues. This isn't like, during watermelon season and they come out of, they're around our house a whole lot more and stuff, and you'll have different. That's not that. This is where you can't even. There's billions of them. It's just, it's a plague. It's like, and they're in the homes, and they're in the food, and they're in the drink, and they're in your ears, and they're in, trying to crawl up your nostrils. There's just thousands, millions, and billions of them. And he says, if thou wilt not let my people go, and so he says, they'll be in the houses, in verse 21, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servant's house, and into all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. But isn't this, we'll stop right there on that particular one. Isn't this amazing that the Lord said, but here's a sign. All these flies are going to cover the earth, and yet right over there, I don't know where the land of Goshen actually started and stopped, but if you were living in it, you may have been able to look over there and see all these swarms and these billions of flies and people just being aggravated and it just driving them almost insane. And there's not one fly. Not one fly. One of the young men, or a man that got saved and got filled in the Holy Spirit in this church, and is still saved. He's not here with us, but he's still in agreement with us, but he moved away. I remember years ago, I had an opportunity to see a sign and a wonder. It was really amazing to me, and it really was to them at that particular time. I was hunting with two good old boys, two redneck good old boys, and this one particular guy, that's what he's avid. He lives, sleeps, and hunts hogs, you guys know that I used to do it all the time years ago. I maybe once a year or maybe once every 2 years. I don't know. It's just not part of my life anymore. I love it, but I don't have time. But at that time, I remember on a particular occasion, we were someplace out towards Corkscrew, and I was with my dad, my granddad. How many of you remember Dylan? Oh, Grandpa Dylan. Okay. And he had the dogs, and me and these other two guys, we knew how to get them. I mean, we could get them. And we could tie them down. We'd try to get as many as we could. And we were walking through, and I was right there with them. I can't remember if I was first or middle. I might have been first in line. We were walking through a cypress swamp, and we were looking and listening. If you're a hunter, you guys, the hunters will know this. You're listening for the dogs because they had went in front of us, but we had to go through a cypress swamp, and we were like thigh deep water, and we're wading through there trying to get to where we think the dogs are at. One of us, I don't know who, knocked over a stump, and these swarms of what's the ones that live in the grounds? Is that the yellow jackets or that? Yeah, the hornets. They came over us. It was unbelievable, and of course, I didn't just stick around. I left. But you can't run in, water this deep. You're just, and you're trying to get over cypress logs. But I was going, and I wasn't like just totally like, this isn't nothing. I was going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And those guys, and they're both of them are rough guys. I mean, they'd fight you. They're tough. They're just tough boys. And both those guys were just going, I could hear them around me or behind me, and they were going, oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. And that wasn't, they were saying bad, 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 bad words. I'm bad words because neither one of them born again. And they were diving under the water, and I was going, my God, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we couldn't get away from them. We finally got out of that swamp. Those guys, they were ate up. They were ate alive. I mean, they pulled their shirts off, and I felt sorry for them. I mean, those guys tore them up. They tore them up. We went someplace. Somebody had some painkillers for them. But the one guy, he asked the other guy, because they were looking, and then my granddad and dad came up there, and they were like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And they were, pulling, we're just men out there, and we were pulling our shirts off, and they said, and they were looking, they just covered their backs or chest or neck, whatever, and just covered. And they were like, man, this is bad, And they're still cussing, they're still cussing. And they look over at me, they go, how bad are you? How bad are you? And I said, I didn't get bit. And they're like, what? What? And I said, no, I didn't get one sting. I didn't get bit at all. The one guy goes, but he loved me, liked me. But he said, look, he goes, why in the blah 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 or whatever? Why didn't you get bit? And the other guy told him, goes, did you hear us? He goes, when we were going GD GD GD, he goes, Bronk was going Jesus Jesus Jesus, God help me help me help me, and it was a sign to that they were like, oh my God. They were covered, their backs were covered, chest were covered, neck, blah, blah, and I didn't have one bite. That's a sign. It's going to be that way in the last days over a lot of different things. That's why even in our particulars, and this could be misconstrued, and I don't want it to be misconstrued, because you may have family members that suffered or this, that, and the other. And that this doesn't, this goes out as a teaching, but it doesn't go out as a blanket for all different instances. It was just like the recent Matthew. You know, we were gone, and Matthew hit Haiti. Please pray for those people. There's upwards towards 1,000 that they know of dead. People suffered tremendously. And I stood up. They had me stand up and pray at the conference for that concerning that hurricane and stuff. And I believe that we have the power, and we're going to eventually get more and more of that power walking in. As Jesus said, peace be still, and everything was calmed. Now, that's where I'm headed. That's where you're headed and stuff. But also, let me give you this aspect, too. There is a judgment that's coming across the earth. And the best that we can do is to live in the land of Goshen. I went over and talked to Gary afterwards, and Tim, I was out at lunch with Tim, and he was telling me something, and we were talking about the hurricane. He said, do you believe that, now this part I did get from that, I remember from conference. He said, do you believe that the Lord, that any of the plagues that hit Egypt touch the land of Goshen? And of course, knowing the word, I said, no, sir, I don't. And he said, exactly. He said, what we're looking at in these days, basically, we're going to see more and more of that. And he did not even know that the service before, or that I'd went over and talked to Gary, and we weren't talking about this. Hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. There's hundreds of people there, and you're just greeting people. And then he said something about the storm. And he said that he has, now I might not have this exactly right, but he supports a mission down there, and I think it's an orphanage. And they got a report from some people that were down there. They said that the eye of it, they could see that the actual center of it moved right over their region, right over their region. And many of those people that were at it, the orphanage, and I believe it is an orphanage. It's a ministry. It's an orphanage, I believe. There were still people living in tents from the earthquake, you know, years ago, which is that's pitiful. You know, we're gonna believe God and pray for those people all the more. And some of you may have family members that suffered in that. Let us know. We will do everything we can to be a part of helping with clothing or whatever. But this particular person said this. They said, we watched, and it wasn't that it was away. The worst part of it came right over, as far as satellite imagery, went right over us. But they said, right where we're at, right there in that ministry, there was not even a tent that blew away. Not even a tent. And they said, just outside of that, devastation. Incredible devastation. Folks, we're going to be living in an hour. This is why it's going to be important for you to walk with Him. It's going to be important for you to cover your children. It's not going to be just because I go to the family prayer center, or I know Pastor Bronk, or I know Homer, or I know Sister Barbara, or I know somebody, or just because we rub shoulders. Just because you rub shoulders with somebody that is walking doesn't mean that when it comes that the storm will not blow you away. You have to be engaged in Him and look over and say, yeah, the flies are right over there, but there's not one swarm here. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Let's just, we got a little bit more here, but this is really cool. Exodus 10. Exodus 10. The Lord, verse 20, says, and the Lord hardened, Exodus 10, 20, says, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand towards the heaven, and there shall that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be, look at this, now listen to this, darkness which may be felt. Now that's thick darkness. Homer's blessed me recently. He goes, Pastor, you need to pray in certain situations. One place that we're going, he said, they need to feel a prayer. I don't like to just hear prayers. I like to feel the prayer. When somebody has a walk so deep that you go, oh my God, They could have said Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and you're going, oh, Jesus. My God. Woo, I can't hardly stand up underneath the glory of that. And then you'll get somebody with a long, pretentious, oh, Lord, thou art the sovereign of the universe and almighty God. And they pray for 20 minutes, and you're like, oh, God, I just wish I could get home and watch a good game or something. Please, my God. And then the other guy's going, Humpty Dumpty. And you're going, oh, my God. You get all them doodads. What's that? What must I do to be saved? Well, that's a prayer felt. And that's what you're going to, see, your time spent in the, don't worry about when somebody says, will you pray? Don't start going to what you know, and don't start trying to go inward and pray that prayer out of that place of intimacy. Then you'll bring healing. Well, this darkness was so dark that it could be felt. Have you ever been on a dark night where there's no moon, the stars are not out, maybe there's cloud coverage? And I've been out in the woods hunting before. If you're so far away from any town light, and you can turn the headlights off or the flashlights off, and I've been out there before where you could not see your hand in front of your face. You're like, I know it's dark. It's dark. And this darkness was that. It was darkness that could be felt. And here it says here in verse 21, the Lord said, stretch out thy hand towards heaven, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine something so thick? Now listen, okay, this is ancient world. Now we're thinking, okay, so for 3 days the sun doesn't come out. And it's not just that there's no, Alaska has those dark seasons, but we're not talking about like darkness where there's a little bit of twilight. We're talking about gross, thick, where you can't see your hand in front of your face. And the Bible says it was so thick that people just had to sit down, and they couldn't, because there was no light switch to flip, there was no Bic to you know, there was no flashlight, there was no matches. Well, let's just fill the drawer here and pull out a match. There was not. They could not utilize their standard way. However, they were actually making fires for their homes. Back then, they couldn't even find what they needed. They just, can you imagine the torment of crying babies and people just for 3 days sitting in a gross darkness where they could not move? Because you can't see. I mean, you could not see. But in the land of Goshen, it says in their dwellings, there was light. Isn't that amazing? That's the distinguishing that we're going to have to live with or live for in these last days. And that doesn't come by pretense. That doesn't come by, I salute every one of you, and I kiss you all. Bless you for showing up, and we need these seats full. But just coming to church ain't going to get her done. It ain't going to get her done. In other words, you will come and give a pretense, like, well, at least I'm doing better than not. That's good. That's good. But for this, in the last days, you must be engaged. Now, you don't have to. I'm not trying to put me up here or people that pray. I'm not saying you're going to have to pray 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day or 5 hours a day or 2 hours. Whatever your place is, you're going to have to. You're going to have to, number one, get the sin out of your life. Glad I took up the offering first. Then but you don't have to do that first. You first have to engage in Him. And as you engage in Him, and He will walk through. I can't stop saying this. Daddy God, because Pastor Dave used to say this, Daddy God will walk through hell with you, with all your faults. In other words, you can have a really bad, let's not talk about that, that's too much information, false. You can, and be His, and he'll walk. In other words, He'll love you. He'll be right there with you, as long as you don't do two things. As long as you do two things. Don't justify it. Don't start saying it's okay. This is okay. This is okay. We're just, this is just who I am, and this is kind of the season of my life. Don't justify it. Say it's sin. It's wrong. It's wrong. That gives something the Holy Spirit to work with if you don't justify. Then do the things that eventually spell out your deliverance. In other words, do what? Prayer. Now you're not, many of you out there, men and women, you have jobs, you've got to get up early, you got to go. I'm not expecting you, don't use this as an excuse. A lot of times people will say, well, I can't pray like you, Pastor, so how can I? He's not asking that, but he is asking you to do what you know to do and what you can do. And all of you that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not, we'll have a prayer line up here afterwards, and I'm serious. But you can all pray in tongues as you go throughout the day. You can all pray in tongues. Because this, that is no more powerful, no more authoritative, like, woo, glory. That's no more powerful than, that I'm just praying where I can walk, you know, I can go to the bank, I can do my transactions, and my lips are just barely moving. The volume doesn't make it more, oh, glory. That doesn't. The expression of it doesn't make it more powerful. It's just the continual flow of it. It's just giving the authority of the Holy Spirit to come and do what He needs to do in your life. But the Lord is going to, so if you do those things, if you don't excuse it, and then you do the things, He will walk through hell with you. In other words, there is going to come a time in the future that you're going to walk totally out of it. You will. You totally will. Praise the Lord. But it's not going to be, I want you all in church. Please, come. But church is not going to be it. And just saying, I know somebody. Well, the somebody you know should be Jesus, and you should be spending some time with Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There was one more. You can write this down. There was one more illustration that was in Exodus. That was in Exodus 14, 19 through 20. You can write that one down. I'll just exhort it. That's when they did get out, and they were fleeing, and they got to the Red Sea, and all of the Egyptians were behind them on horses and chariots and swords. And at this time, Israel later became a really fighting military force. But they had not fashioned or formed weaponry. They did not have any spears. They did not have any swords. Very few knives. I mean, it would have been like duck soup. However many thousands of Egyptians there may have been, or hundreds of them, a few hundred on chariots with swords could have, you know, just roped in a couple of million people because they had weapons in their hands. Well, the Israelites had no weapons, and they were not even trained yet to fight. Joshua finally trained them, the Holy Spirit finally trained them, and they became a military force. But when they got sandwiched in between the Red Sea and the Egyptians, that scripture I just gave you, the Lord calls this great pillar of fire to come, and simultaneously, it's an incredible story, it was a light at night to the Israelites, and it gave them warmth, and on the other side of it, it was gross darkness. There is coming in these last days, and it's not hard. You don't have to, there's no joining this church, and there's no checking this if you're paying your tithes, but you must step into righteousness, and you must step into the doings of the sayings of what we're teaching you. It's not, see, building your house upon a rock is not the sayings of Christ. It is the sayings and the doings of Christ. It's the two parts. You must know His sayings, and you must do His sayings. It's not a patronizing, I love that verse. Are you doing that verse? Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, we didn't come here to this morning to have you come back and beat on us. No, I'm not. I'm loving you. I'm loving you. I want you to prosper and be happy and be blessed. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:2, you don't have to turn there, but it says, set your affections on the things that are above. Oh, I love, and not on things that are beneath. We have to turn here, 1 Corinthians 7. We have to turn to 1 Corinthians 7. I'm in Chronicles, that won't do. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Look at verse 29. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and we're not going to go into all this chapter here. We don't have time. We're starting to close. This is my first closing. Glory to God. And I know Homer really well, so if I'm anything, okay. Look at verse 29. I heard Homer go, oh, God. Okay. And verse 29 says this. Paul's saying this to the church, and this, but this, verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. Everybody say the time is short. The time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. What? Now let me just stop right there so nobody gets offended, especially the wives. He said the time is short. What he is trying to do is say this. He is definitely not this man of love, not this man of character, not this man that teaches so much on how to love your wives and prefer them as Christ loves the church and prefers them. He's not saying disregard your wives. He's not saying disdain your wives. He's saying man or wife, husband or wife, he's saying live like that, whether you're married or not married, that you have a heavenly perspective. In other words, it's all about, and everything that we'll just read in the next verse, he reiterates, he says, whether you're married, not married, whether you have a wife or don't have a wife, don't let your joy be, have your perspective on things that are above. In other words, it's not that you're like trying to build a life here to satisfy each other. That's what he's saying. Whether you're married, live like you're not married. That doesn't mean that you carouse and you look over here and you look over there. What it's saying is that you're not becoming, male or female, husband or wife, you're not becoming distracted by trying to set up a kingdom or a perspective of I want everything down here. We're going to live our happy life here, and that's what it's all about. He's saying, no, it's not all about that. The time is short. Let's go on in. Let's work this work for Christ. If you're married, wonderful. If you have a home, if you have children, it's wonderful, but don't settle for that. Keep a higher heavenly perspective. Live like you're not as in disregarding them. Work for them, provide for them, love them, have, you know, take them to, you know, their baseball games, their football games, but have a heavenly perspective. It's far more than all of that. It's far more than all that. Glory to God. He says this, and he says, it's time that they that weep as they that wept not. In other words, I lost something. What'd you lose? I lost $50,000 in that. Well, just, it's okay. Just be like those that weep not. What he's saying is here, really, what he's saying is life. See, Candy and I, there's something that we feel like the Lord has given us for our future. And there's something that we're working towards. But in this heavenly perspective, whether that ever happens or not, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When you catch this heavenly perspective, like so many of you are, things of this life. Now, I'm not a bump on a log. You won't out-cheer me in getting involved in a game. When I'm loving it, I'm loving it. When I was sitting next to Homer the other day and Nathaniel was throwing all them touchdowns, I finally had told Homer, I said, I got to stop because I won't be able to preach tomorrow. I won't be able to preach Sunday because I was getting hoarse. You want out, I can get as emotional into a game as, but 5 minutes after it's over, whether I've won or whether I've lost, it doesn't affect me. It's foolishness. It's absolute foolishness for me to get upset over things like that anymore. And that's just one thing. All the things of this life are foolishness to get involved with or let them affect your emotions, because we have a heavenly perspective, and it's as we have to live. If we're married, we got to live like we're not married. If we weep, we've got to live like we're not weeping. If I lost, it doesn't matter. I'm going to heaven, and I've got to get as many people going there with me as I possibly can. That's what matters. That's all that matters. Hallelujah. He says, those that weep as though they wept not. Those that rejoiced as though they rejoiced not. Oh God, that $100,000 check come in. Wonderful. That's just glory. Give me some of it. No. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But don't that can't be your joy. That can't be your joy. The things of this life. See, the world's just, they think that. The world's so mixed up, and the church is so mixed up. The world, they think money's going to make them happy. It doesn't make them happy. The world thinks a beautiful wife or a beautiful husband, a handsome husband, I got a looker. I got a looker. You know, all them beautiful women, they're just lookers. They all go three or four or five divorces. Their husbands, that beauty only satisfies them for a while. And they gotta have more, and they gotta have more. Why? Because nothing in this life will ever satisfy them. And it don't matter how much she's a looker. It doesn't matter how handsome or how much money he's got. Whether you're one that is rejoicing, if it comes in and you go, oh, I got the $1 million. I wanted to be a millionaire before I was 30 and I became a millionaire. Glory be to God. And it's all going to burn up one day anyway. It's going to burn. It's going to burn. It's going to burn, burn, burn. So enjoy it. But when somebody backs into your car, go, oh, God, I saved for it. Jesus. Man, it's going to be a rust bucket one day. What's real is get your babies to heaven. Get your kids to heaven. Fight like a crazy person to get the heavenly. Don't let some stupid temporal thing affect your joy. I lost that truck, or I lost that car, or I lost that deal. Oh, God. It's okay. It's okay. Live bigger than yourself. Live in the heavenly perspective. Good stuff. Hallelujah. And use not this world as not abusing. And he says, let me finish verse 30. And those that rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. You know that we just acquired, bought 10 more acres and 5 more homes. And wonderful. That's great. God might have given it to you. But treat it like junk. I mean, take care of it. Y'all know I just did a series on taking care of your stuff. Take care of it. But have a heavenly perspective. Again, don't hold on to anything. Let her go. And keep praying for your children and praying for your family. They that buy as though that they that possess not. Okay, what I've got, God will cause you to be a billionaire if he can use you. But act like this isn't nothing. He says, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this? I really wish that we had time, but we don't, to go to Matthew chapter 25 and read those verses on the 10 virgins. There are 5 wise and 5 foolish. We may read that again next week or read that. the virgins were all together. They all came to church together. But there were five, and you might not have known it when you were seeing them come in. Now I'm paraphrasing. I'm doing a lot of paraphrasing. But five were wise. They were keeping oil in their lamp. Five were foolish. They said, I go to the prayer center, so it didn't really matter. Then the end came. And the five foolish came and let me in. I don't know you. I don't know you. We're living in a place where the vortex, it's getting closer and closer. We're coming into this fat man squeeze. And the flesh has got to come off for you to squeeze through. And there's going to be a protection and a hedge. And we're going to be like, yep. I love those people. Let's pray for them. There's flies over there. Wow, they're living in horrible darkness over there. Wow, that marriage is breaking up. That's terrible. Wow, that family's falling apart. That is terrible. But you know what? Really, you can pray, but when people know to do and they don't do, there's not really much more you can do. You can't just give them more knowledge. They've got to do. They've got to do. They've got to do. It's absolutely that they've got to do. We are being filled with doctrine like never before. Not just what I'm giving you, what Homer's giving you, what the good people that we recommend around here. And you men and women are women and men of doctrine. And you're repeating this to each other. Let's go forward in Christ. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. No church tonight. Enjoy your afternoon. Be blessed. If you think I'm some kind of robot because I preach like this, I'm not. This is life. In an hour from now or whatever, if the Dolphins are losing or what do they play? The 4 o'clock game? The 1 o'clock game? If they're losing, I'll be going, oh man, oh man, I'm a human. Oh my God. But at 5 o'clock, it won't take any sleep. It won't matter. And you know, whatever happens tomorrow won't matter. Because I'll go in and you'll go in with me. And only heavenly perspectives will matter. Father, we love you and we praise you. We give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our lives going forward in Christ. Please, 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 Holy Spirit, take these words into all of our lives, and myself especially included, stamp these things down deep in our hearts that we keep these things so dear and keep going forward by the precious power of Jesus Christ in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. Amen.